Well, I could take a long time to talk about Lynn. He is a great support. He is a man who is a great leader in our church. He loves God. He loves people. He loves God's word. And I've asked him to teach many times for me when I've not been here. I don't know if I've ever been here when you're taught before, Lynn. Maybe one time, maybe not. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to tonight. He always does a great job because I always have it recorded and I always listen to it. So I just told him to preach or to teach out of God's word. I trust him. So Lynn, come and share what God's laid on your heart. Thank you for filling in or for teaching tonight. It made this week a lot easier for me.
It's great joy and honor to be standing here this evening to share God's word and for us to look into it, to edify ourselves and to grow and to build us up in Jesus Christ. So without any ado, I would like us to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. I guess we are there. We can say amen. I'll read from verse 43 to the end. That's five verses. Jesus speaking here, and he said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of our Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the quietness in this place tonight. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the word which you have deposited in my spirit that we could share and discuss tonight, Father. May you reveal it to us in clarity by the power of your Holy Spirit. So teach us that we may teach others also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last Sunday in our Sunday school, and I had warned my Sunday school students that tonight I'm going to be talking about love. And we discussed the love chapter in our Sunday school last Sunday, 1 Corinthians 13. So I said, I'm going to depend on you to help me out here tonight. So I hope those of us who are here is prepared to help me out here tonight, right? I hardly hear any amen, but we'll soon find out. And the topic of last week, Sunday school was the most excellent way. And we discover and learn that the most excellent way is love. And so next week, we're going to be talking about how we can use the gift of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, to grow the church. And so right smack in the middle of these, when I sought the Lord for a word, when Pastor asked me to speak tonight, I said, "Lord, what will you have me do or say tonight?" And I struggled here and there, and I look at it, and then 2 o'clock in the morning, which is about the time when I get up to do my Bible study, he laid on me, on my heart, how to love like Jesus. How to love like Jesus. Do you think that's important?
Yes.
So let's talk about this theme for a moment. So my first question is, can we love like Jesus?
Yes.
Do you think we can love? Yes.
I would say no. But only under the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do that. You certainly couldn't try to do it in our own flesh.
Yep. So therefore, we can love like Jesus.
We can, through the power.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other thought? Can we love like Jesus? Well, I firmly believe the answer is yes. But how do I know that? Because, you know, the Bible is the Word of God. And Jesus said that when you go, he shall send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will teach us all truth. So if we want to know if we can love like Jesus, then shouldn't the Bible tell us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, John 13 and verse 34 said, a new commandment. Can somebody finish that? That you love one another as I have loved you. It's that simple. You see, I always think of the simplicity of the gospel and the word of God, that we don't have to be so mightily educated or worried about the wisdom of man to understand the Bible, because he said the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and will teach us all things. So we can love like Jesus loved. Because remember now, as believers, Jesus come to live within our heart by the Holy Spirit. And if he lives in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and he's guiding us, and we yield to him and obey him, then we are going to do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Right? So we can love like Jesus. But there's a problem. If we can love like Jesus, why don't we? Any idea? Any thoughts? Why don't we?
Because we're not Jesus.
I like that question, because we're not Jesus, right? Any other idea?
We stay conditioned.
Because if Jesus said we can do it, yet we are not really doing it. Well, as saints, church members, we do a lot with our lips. But in action, we don't. But everything starts within the heart. So Jesus said in 1 John 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So in order for us to love like Jesus, we have to have the love of Jesus within us. Now, if we don't have the love of Jesus within us, then we have the love of the world within us. And a stream cannot bring forth bitter and sweet water at the same time. And I think the Bible did say that. So therefore, there is something that we are not getting as believers that I want us to understand tonight. He went on to say in Romans 12, verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so we can do that which is the perfect, acceptable will of our Father which is in heaven. So therefore, the transformation will have to take place, right? And once we are transformed now, we are slowly getting out of the world. But this doesn't happen overnight, does it? It's a process. And that's why we come to church. That's why we listen to stories like the story of Joshua, which is one of the most powerful, one of my favorite passages in the scripture, to see the journey that Joshua took as a young man to follow Jesus Christ under the leadership of Moses. Then he was left alone. And that's why we learn these things when we come to Sunday school and Bible study, because we grasp and we're able to understand where we are, at what point in our Christian life we are. We don't just come to warm the benches, especially at this time of the year, because the benches don't need any warm because of the heat outside. So therefore, we understand now that in order to love like Jesus, we have to have Jesus' love within us. Not puppy love. Not the love of the world. Not the love for the things of this world. But what are some of the things of this world that stop believers from loving like Jesus? That's what I want us to tell them. Tell me some of the things that prevent us, things of this world, that prevent us from loving like Jesus. You can name anything because none of us here is innocent. But we have to identify what is the stumbling block in our path. What is preventing us? Because if we want to do an outreach to win souls for the kingdom of God, we have to love them like how Jesus loved them. It's not about have nice flyers. It's not about giving them a good gospel message. It's not about preaching till we get sweat, because we can preach to others and we ourselves become a castaway. We have to have that love of God within our hearts and love like Jesus. And we are all guilty of failing somewhere along the way. But when we understand where our failures are, then we can grasp and have that desire. Say, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith. I need to love like you. So let us break down some of the things that is preventing us as believers and Christians everywhere. The church, not the church as assemblies of God, but the church as the body of Christ throughout America and the world. What are some of the things, the little foxholes in our life, in our Christian life, is preventing us from loving like Jesus?
Fear.
Fear, good.
Self.
Self.
Fear of being judged,
yes.
Money.
You're getting there. Come on, there's a lot more, ton of them.
Selective of who we will love.
That's right, selective, yes.
Loving things more than people.
Loving things, right? Go back to the love of the world. Anything else? Come on. We have some big ones that we don't name.
Not doing
the things that Jesus, lack of obedience. What was that?
Selfishness,
good.
Pride of life.
Lust. Some people are difficult to love. I think the thief on the cross was difficult to love, but Jesus loved him. But you see, there are a lot. I wrote down a few that we hardly hear from the pulpit. Because preachers today and Christians today, they judge people and talk about, or judge us as believers, and talk about things that because they don't lie, they believe all they can talk about liars. Because they don't steal, they condemn the thief. Because they don't commit adultery, they feel everybody else is guilty of adultery. And so they have their little petty sins. But when we look on the things that is standing in our way, is a multitude of them. Here are some of them that I make note of. Prejudice. We don't hear people talk about prejudice, especially in Christendom, especially on those big screen televisions and some of those preachers. What about bigotry, racism, discrimination, hatred, pride, revenge, selfishness, greed, jealousy, envy, covetousness, materialism, idolatry, loving others and loving all we care about is our family, our children, our wives, our husband. That's all we care about. But Jesus said we should hate all these things and leave the entire family and follow him. And when I use the word hate, I doesn't mean hate in the terms that we normally. It means giving Christ first priority in our lives. And we should not be partial in loving one another. And a few other things we talk about is money. Somebody said that. Gossip. Tale-bearing, hypocrisy, lies, pretense, arrogancy. And arrogance is not the same as being bold or being firm. Because sometimes those can be mixed together. When Paul said he confront Peter to his face, he wasn't arrogant. When Jesus turned over the money chamber in the temple, Jesus wasn't arrogant. It's bold and being firm, different from being arrogant. And I want to say to us tonight, saints, that If we have any one of these sins that I name in our lives, anyone, just one, we are guilty of all of them. If we possess any of these sins, if I lie, which is against God's law, I'm guilty of stealing, I'm guilty of adultery. The Bible tells us that in James 2 and verse 10, that we are guilty of all. So no man, because if it's impossible for us, as our sister mentioned, that we have to have Christ in our lives, but through Christ we can overcome. But with Christ in our life, that's what why he died. He just didn't die for sins past, did he? He died for sins past, present, and future. And he said that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by Christ Jesus, then we are able to love. And we cannot learn to forgive like Jesus until we learn to love like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So without Jesus Christ, we can't accomplish anything. Without Jesus' love poured abroad in our hearts, that is the first thing we have to cry to the Lord, Jesus, help me to love like you. You may be standing with your son or your daughter and somebody come up and just put a bullet in him or her for no reason at all. The first thing may come to your mind, I wish the cop could catch him and his soul rot in hell. That's not loving like Jesus, saints. Our responsibility is to pray for him and forgive him right away. Yes, it's hard to do, but God requires us to do that. Because if we don't forgive men their trespasses, our heavenly Father will not forgive us. We have to love. I remember as a young man going to school, I took up a little black and white book that my sister had studying literature. And one thing I'll never forget that I read in it. It said, you were born black and I was born white. But none of us could do anything about it. So we cannot hate one another, because we need to kill hatred, not in society where we seize its fruits, but in the hearts of people where it has its roots, and that is in our own hearts first. As a result, nobody can drag me down so low to make me hate them. And that has been my belief for the rest of my life until today. Nobody. I paint that in my heart even before I got saved. That nobody can drag me down so low to make me hate them. Because hate multiplies and has a million enemy or more. And nobody suffers more than the hater. Because you see, when I walk around and talk about Brother Bruce's attitude and what he did, and I hate him, and I go to my bed and think how I can get rid of him, or how I don't want to sit beside him and think all the negative. He's sleeping still and drawing snore in peace. Right? So therefore, we got to love. And we got to love. And we can love like Jesus loved. Now, we talk about being judgmental. We talk about revenge. We talk about hatred, condemnation. Did Jesus have reason to display any of these qualities? Yes, he did. And he did display them in the Old Testament. He got mad and he punished the whole world and saved only Noah and his family. He was angry at sin. He destroyed so many people, so many wars. He did it because the people were evil. The Bible said, from a child, the very imagination of our hearts were wicked. So he hated sin and he punished it. He had reason to do all this. But we talk about how we're going to love like Jesus. And the fact that Jesus had reason to do all this. But there comes in a time that Jesus decided to do something about it. John 3:16. For God so loved us. This touches my heart. In thinking of who we were and thinking of all the sins of the world. But God had one son. He loved us so much that he was willing to send him to die on the cross for all of us. If it was only me alone, he would have done it. How to love like Jesus. I grew up going to a Methodist church with my parents. I joined the boys' brigade as a young man. And they took me up, follow me, take me there, and they sprinkled the water on my head, saying I was baptized. I wasn't saved. But there was a song that I never forget from that day that I learned by Charles Wesley. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Verse 3 said, he left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for thou, my God, had found out me. I couldn't understand what he mean when he said he emptied himself of all but love. Up till today, I read where theologians manipulate his statement. They took different interpretation falsely by not understanding what he was saying. They call it the kenosis theology and give it a meaning that it is a self-emptying of Jesus' own will, becoming entirely receptive to God's divine will. And they turn it around by saying that Charles didn't know what he was saying. I feel that was arrogancy. Knowing who John and Charles Wesley is and what they mean, they can't go into a dead man's head to determine what he explained. So it took me time to analyze it. And in analyze it, I had a little demo, and I forget it. But when I got out there, I searched my car, and I found something that I could demonstrate it. Emptied himself of all but love. You see, these are not wintergreen, what do you think it is? Now, in this little container, I have a lot of things. But among them is a black, you'd call it pearl, has great value, very important. But I put it in this container, but in the container with it, there's a number of junk that is messing it up. There is some stones, there is some sticks, there is some leaves, there is some paper. And I don't want all those junk in there to mess up my little pearl. I want my pearl to be pure inside my container. And so what I got to do, I'm going to empty this container of all but the pearl. So all I have left in here is the pearl. Jesus could have destroyed all mankind. He told Pilate that. But when he left heaven, all the judgment and the bitterness of sin that he hated, he emptied himself of it. And he came to earth in love and love alone. All that was with him was love. He emptied himself of revenge, of hatred for sin, of bitterness. And all he think about is mankind who he loved, for God so loved the world. He emptied himself of all but love. And I remember on that bed in the hospital, I recognized that love. John 15, 13, a greater love had no man than this, than a man who laid down his life for his friends. For us to reach out to the world and to find people who are lost, we have to empty ourselves of all this bitterness, anger, hatred for one another, jealousy, suspicion, and all the negativity that we were born with, and cleanse ourselves, like David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Get me some of that hyssop and wash me that I may be whiter than snow. To understand God's amazing love. If the songwriter said, if I could with ink, the ocean filled, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, I shall forevermore endure. Saints and angels sung. We must love or perish. We must have the divine love of God. If we don't have it, we must seek it. Yes, we have reason to hate people. We have reason to be bitter and to be angry with them. But the word of God said, let no root of bitterness spring up within us that will bring forth cruelty. We must love our brothers and our sisters first. It's easy to say, oh, they'll know we are Christian by our love. But Jesus didn't just come down and walk around and said, I came because I love you and I'm going to die. He demonstrated it. For God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He bore it all. He suffered. He demonstrated. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. Remember the woman at the well? He made the path between Judah and Galilee narrowed because they didn't have to walk around some area. But Jesus went into the heart of that country to save that woman. And the lives of Samaritans were changed who would accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about love. We have to question ourselves. Do we love? Can we love those terrorists over there? Can we love those people who are cutting off people's head, who are raping our kids and our young people? Who can we love those people who have turned to homosexualists or are committing abortion and doing all those crimes? Can we love them? Yes, we can. Because in loving them, we will be saving them. By God's grace and mercy, we got to love them. We got to understand that Jesus, as I said, could have destroyed all these people. But Jesus said, I love you with an everlasting love. As he said in Jeremiah, and with loving kindness have I drawn you unto myself. God love us. He wants us to love like him. He wants us to love one another with a true love. A love that is evident not in words but in deed. A love that we can invite just about any brother or sister to our home and sit down and have dinner with them. I love that we can welcome anyone. A love that is not partial. A love that does not have schism. A love that is not willing only to protect certain people and to be nice to some people. A love that doesn't care where we sit in church as long as there's somebody else beside us. A love that we don't have to shift from one place to the other because Bruce or Sister French or Pastor Tim is sitting there. But a love that we can hug our brother and sister without any negativity or question. A love that is pure. A love that is kind. A love that can only be found in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It's not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. It's not soon angry. It's not a love that is going to get upset because I don't do what you want me to do, or I don't say what you want me to say, or I don't agree with everything you say. It's a love that has no bounds. It's that kind of love we need to have. So the question is, can we love like Jesus? Yes, we can. Because you see, love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprung up for men in misery. Sin died where the blood fell. Aren't we glad that the blood of Jesus covers us? Saints of God, let's go out and love like Jesus loved. Let's fight against the enemy. Let's break down the stronghold that is holding us back. That we don't criticize one another for every little thing that we think may be negative. That we don't be prejudicial. That we don't have wrong judgment or false accusation or gossip or create anger or be bitter with one another. But let us love like Jesus loved. And our lives will be changed. Our home will be changed. Our church will change. Our community will change. Our world will be a better place. And Jesus Christ will be glorified. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn. Such a foundational truth. You know, God said in the Old Testament, and Jesus repeated it in the New, the most important thing we need to do is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others. Love your neighbor. And, of course, that raised all kinds of questions. Who's our neighbor? And Jesus made that clear. Anybody who's around you. Anybody who's around you. So, let's pray that God will help us to love better. But it's not accomplished through a short prayer at the end of a Bible study. It's accomplished through a lifetime of prayer. God, help me to love people. Especially when they're those that are unlovable, as was mentioned earlier. So, Father God, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that we've received tonight that has at its basis an encouragement. The encouragement is that you loved us. We are unlovable. We don't think that. We don't want to believe that, but we are, because we're all guilty of sin. And we're all separated from you because of that until, Lord God, we recognize and accept what Jesus did for us. And we thank you for what Jesus did for us. Lord, as Lynn said, you loved the world that you so much you gave your son. We weren't worthy. We didn't deserve it. Very unlovable, Lord. But Lord, you loved us anyway, and you paid the price. And God, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord God. There's some people it's easy to love. And we pray that you'd help us to love them even more. But Lord, especially for those when it's difficult. Some are just downright hard. Lord, those who would wish us ill, those who would wish to hurt us or harm, maybe those who have hurt us and harmed us. Help us to love them. Lord, it was said at the very beginning, we can't do it unless you help us. But Lord, we can do it if you do help us, if we depend upon that. So Father, when it's difficult, help us to cry out to you, that your love would flow through us. And Lord, I pray that the result of that is that people would come to know Jesus and that they would change. And Lord, they become easy to love because of the work that you've done in their lives. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, we pray a blessing on Lynn And we pray, dear God, that you would continue to touch him and heal him and help him. We thank you, Lord, for his teaching tonight. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.